I'm glad to take just a few minutes to tell you a little bit about the history of how we came to be here today. Let me go back to when I pastored a church in El Monte, California for 16 years. In the providence of God, after 16 years of pastoring that church, God chose not to continue that church. So we had to close the church, and we sold the property. And at that time, myself and many of the members of that church went to Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Ontario, California, which was about 30 minutes from where we were located, where Pastor Steve Marcadont and Pastor Jeff Massey pastored at that time. And at that time, I actually believe that my years of 65 years old, I think I was actually almost 64 and turned 64 shortly after that. And my wife and I had been looking for a place to relocate for a while. And we ended up buying a house in Georgetown. And in March of 2011, in August of 2011, I had a heart attack. And by then I was fully convinced that my years of ministry were over, that God's purposes for me had changed in my life. And they did. What occurred was that once we relocated here, we began looking for a Reformed Baptist church. As we had thought about moving here, we had seen a few churches that claimed to have the 1689 confession as their confession of faith, but discovered very soon that their interpretation of being confessional and what it meant to be a Reformed Baptist church was something entirely different. They were generally dispensational and new covenant, or had dramatically modified how they interpreted the confession. Therefore, in conversations with the elders, decided to talk with the elders at Heritage Baptist Church, who were close friends and brothers of the elders at the church in California. So we arranged a meeting. Actually, Steve Marcadont and Larry Vincent had been close friends for years. Steve arranged a meeting with the elders at Heritage Baptist Church, and on January the 12th of 2012, myself and the elders of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church and the elders of the Heritage Baptist Church met in the Dallas area for a day, and after meeting and talking about planting a church and presenting a proposal, the elders decided to present the proposal to their churches to sponsor a church plant here in Georgetown. At the same time, Stephen Garrick was an elder at Heritage Baptist Church in Mansfield. And as we had presented this proposal, we had said, Bob Curley is an old man who just had a heart attack. So we will need to find a man to help him. And we were thinking that we would find some young seminary graduate who possibly had served in a year's internship that was full of fire and brimstone and great strength and energy, who would come and help plant the church. Well, on the very day that we were talking about planting the church, Steve Garrick asked if we thought that he might be acceptable to plant the church. And he was more than acceptable. He had been a pastor for over 20 years, member of the Theology Committee of the Association of Reformed Baptist Churches, member of the Ministerial Training Committee, which oversees the work of the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies, and highly, highly equipped by the Lord. Right now, Steve is saying, but we are very thankful, and God has used him wonderfully in the work of planting this church. The two churches then agreed to sponsor the church plant. And what is unique about it is generally a church plant starts with a sponsoring church, one sponsoring church, because it's difficult to get the elders of two different sponsoring churches to agree on things all the time. But these two churches sponsored the planting of the church. Heritage Baptist Church sent Steve Garrick down to serve as church planter, and Sovereign Grace designated me as a church planter. Steve and I got together and developed a startup plan and decided that we would start with worship services, which we did in July 8th of 2012. We began in the Georgetown Public Library, and the library did not want to rent a space. They had had two churches meeting in their meeting rooms prior to our arrival. They had bad experiences with those churches. When I called them, they said, no, we no longer rent to churches. So I was persistent, finally got a hold of the director and said, well, can I just make an appointment to come and talk with you? He said, you can come and talk with me, but we don't rent to churches. So I asked him in my meeting with him what the problems were, and he outlined all of the difficulties they had had with the previous churches, and I promised him he would not have any of those difficulties with us. And I said, would you at least do this? Let us meet here for a month. And if you don't like us at the end of the month, just tell us. And if you do like us, let us meet here another 90 days. And at the end of 60 days, if you're not satisfied with us, then let us know and we will find another place. Well, we continued meeting there for over 3.5 years by the grace of God. It's a wonderful place to meet and a wonderful provision for us as a church. Steve began preaching, and he and his wife, Randy, along with a team of people that included Chuck and Cindy Kaysen. Chuck is leading our music today, and Chuck came down to lead our singing when we first started. And Anita and Catherine Baines, Anita played the piano for us. And every Lord's Day, they got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, drove 165 miles, came down, preached, sang, worked in the nurseries, made things operate, and then came to my home for lunch, and then turned around and drove back every Lord's Day. And they did that for almost 2 years before Pastor Garrick moved down here. We started Sunday school in September of 2012. We printed a pamphlet in August of 2012 concerning a pathway to membership and becoming a church. We began accepting membership applications in February of 2013. We prepared bylaws in March of 2013. In April of 2013, Steve and I, as church planters, gave our testimonies to the church, and Jeff Massey from Sovereign Grace Baptist Church came to Georgetown to nominate me for the eldership, and Larry Vincent came from Heritage Baptist Church in Mansfield to nominate Stephen Garrick for the eldership. The church then constituted on July 20th of 2013 with 24 members, and ordained Stephen Garrick and myself as its first elders. It was a wonderful service. The constituting service was a wonderful service. It really was. What a joyful time for us. Beginning in February of 2013, we began weekly prayer meetings, and at that time we had our prayer meetings in the Holiday Inn in Cedar Park, and continued that into 2014 when we relocated our weekly prayer meetings to my home. Since that time, since constituting, we have become members of three different associations of churches. We believe in associationalism. We believe that it is important to work together with churches, members of the Texas Area Association of Reformed Baptist Churches. We are members of the Association of Reformed Baptist Churches of America, and we are members of the Foundation for the Advancement of Reformed Baptist Causes, which is also an association of churches, although it's called a foundation. That association of churches was established by the proceeds from the sale of the church in El Monte. Since we constituted as a church in July of 2012, the Lord has added 16 new members to the church. And during that time, we have lost 4 members, and two of these members moved out of the area, and 2 resigned their membership and returned to a church they previously attended. We currently have about 36 members and average 70 to 75 people in our worship services. Today we are in our new meeting house. So let me tell you the story about the meeting house. We began our services, as I said, on July 8th of 2012, and looking for a more permanent location to meet in, either a leased property or a land to purchase. And we didn't know exactly how we might purchase the land, but we were looking. At that time, in about October, we saw this piece of property, which was 9.33 acres. And we saw the real estate sign on the piece of property. We met with the realtor and with the city planning department, but discovered that it would be impossible for us to meet the city requirements for fire flow water. So we discontinued our interest in this piece of property. And we continued looking for property to buy or lease. Then in October of 2014, we discovered that the Lord had decided to use some Catholics who were building a convent down the road to pay for the laying of a 12-inch water line across the highway from this piece of property, which meant that this property was then something we could use. We could manage connecting to that water line. So with substantial help from the Foundation for the Advancement of Reformed Baptist Causes and the extremely generous giving of our church members, we were able to buy 9.33 acres of land. In April of 2014, we met and contracted with Dan Jacobson and Wes Griffin, who are our architects, and Wes and his wife are with us today. And God wonderfully blessed us by their services. A short time later, actually by virtue of the fact that we had met Wes and Dan, we then met Randy Mongold, who is our project manager, and Randy is with us today also. We had our first groundbreaking ceremony on July 21st, on July 21st of 2015. And construction began in August of 2015, and I might tell you something about the providence of God. When Wes and Dan designed this building and met with us, we had originally talked about not finishing the sanctuary portion of it because we did not have the money, and there was no way for us to get the money. So our plan was, we had a plan A and a plan B. Our plan was we were going to finish the fellowship hall and the classrooms in that portion, have our worship classrooms to the side, and then as God blessed us with growth, we would then finish out this part of the building. A few months into our project, our project manager, who's also the best project manager in the United States of America, I always told him he was the best project manager in Texas, but he's the best project manager in the United States of America. called me and said he thought he would like to buy the back 6 acres of our property, 6.3 acres of our property. And then we began negotiations with him as he was negotiating property. The result of that was that we realized almost $180,000 from that sale to Randy. And we had only paid $190,000 for 9.33 acres of land. I don't think this is the first time Randy's heard that. So, That was something we didn't even talk to him about. We didn't try to persuade him. We didn't make a pitch. He just decided one day that this would be a good investment. So we were able to finish the building. Our first ministry activity in our new building was a men's breakfast on February 13, 2016. Our first worship service was conducted here on February 14, 2016, just a few weeks ago. We thank God for His great blessing on us, His people. Jesus tells us we are the light of the world, and God has provided for us wonderfully to enable us to preach and teach and fellowship together and learn to live as God's people and fulfill His purpose in our lives. We are different than the world, and for that I thank God every minute of my life. That God has made us His special people. We are the light of the world. We are the presence of God in the world. We bow down and worship Him because He is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we praise Him and rejoice in His marvelous blessings to us today.
It's my task this afternoon to give you something of our goals and our future as we would like them to be, according to God's grace. When Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church was in its very beginning stages, before we were actually constituted as a church, we began primarily in this area with the one family, and that was Bob and Pat Curley and their son Joseph. We did not have a seed group or a group of believers in the area that had contacted us, and so we began with some informational meetings. And what God did was that He sent to that informational meetings what I will call mature Christians, people who had been in the faith, many of them, most of their lives. And from that maturity, we were able to have a solid base from the very beginning. A lot of wisdom, a lot of experience, being able to, from the beginning, enjoy some unity and enjoy some solidity. But I told those people that because we were, for the most part, the older group, doing as building a church for ourselves. Because building a church and getting it in a stable, mature condition takes years. It's not something that happens really quickly. A stable, mature church that you're going to pass on to your children and maybe to their children is a work that takes a decade. And so I told them that we should think of ourselves more as like, you know, Daniel Boone and those that went with him to Boonesboro. We're kind of blazing a trail, cutting trees, clearing stumps, digging up the ground. And about the time we've got everything where it's going to be, we're all going to die. And that means the younger ones, or those who have extremely long living genes in their history, in their gene pool, are going to be the ones to take over from there. So what do we want to see when that happens? Well, to some degree, our goals are based on the idea of how we understand what church is. First and foremost, we do not believe, and I hope never give the impression, that we are somehow the only or even the greatest manifestation of the kingdom of God in this county. That simply is not true, and we know it. The gospel is preached in many places, and we are grateful for that. Nor do we think that we have the largest or the best or the most sensational name out there. That's not the case either. Rather, what we want to start with is this. Here are our goals. One, that Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church would always be a church that operates under the headship of Jesus Christ. Now, what that means is that the church is not ours. In the book of Revelation, there are seven churches that are addressed by Jesus Christ as the glorified, risen Lord. And He addresses them as the one who holds the seven stars in His right hand. The seven stars representing the leadership and the governance of those churches are in fact under the governance of Jesus Christ, the ascended Lord. A church is not free to decide what it wants to be like on its own. To do so is to actually take ourselves out of the hand of Christ or from under his headship and to make ourselves our own leaders and our own directors. A church does not have the authority to decide, oh, we want to be this kind of a church or we want to be that kind of a church. That issue was decided for us in the Scriptures and through the teachings of Christ and then through the writings of his holy apostles. We want to be a church under the headship of Christ. And that means, therefore, we want to be a church that examines the Word of God carefully. We don't want to just find in the Word of God a snippet of wisdom that will help us through the week. We want to find in the Word of God the instructions for every area of our lives. We want to be known as people who, when it comes to thinking about marriage, think about marriage the way the Bible tells us. That when we think about raising our children, we raise our children according to the directions of the Scriptures. That when we worship the way the Bible tells us to worship. We pray the things that we are supposed to pray. We sing the words that are doctrinally sound words. That all of our life, whether it's employment, work, being a neighbor, a parent, a spouse, a church member, a pastor, that all of it starts with this one question: what would Christ have us do? And the answer is found in the written Word of God. So our goal then is to be a church under the headship of Jesus Christ, according to what he has told us in the revealed and preserved written Scriptures. That means, secondarily, we want to be a church that's known for doctrinal soundness. We don't want to be persnickety. We don't want to be known as the one who tries to decide just how many angels really can dance on the head of a pin. But we want to be doctrinally sound. We do live in an age when various pollsters groups can ask people if they identify themselves as Christians. And are you a regular church member? And then begin asking them doctrinal questions. And if you've ever read any of those polls by Barna or similar groups, you will find that many people who identify themselves as somewhat regular churchgoers nonetheless have poor doctrine. We want to be a church that's known for teaching doctrine, necessarily the equivalent of PhDs in theology, but know what the Scripture says about God and about salvation and the gospel and the church. Third, that means we want to be a church that preaches the gospel and we want to see people saved. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And there is such a thing as sin, and people are condemned. And there is only one hope of salvation in Jesus Christ through his death on the cross. And we want that message to resound over and over again. We want to see people saved. There are people who have already visited Emmanuel. Some have stayed with us for periods of time who do not know Christ. And it is our joy to be able to say that they heard the gospel. We want to see our children come to faith in Jesus Christ. To that end, the gospel becomes the pattern for our worship every Lord's Day. Every Lord's Day, we hear the greatness of God, the lostness of man because of our sin, and the free offer of salvation and forgiveness through Christ in the gospel. We want to see our children saved. We want to see people saved, and we want to gain a reputation in the neighborhood, in our city, and in our community as a place where the Word of God is taught and where the gospel is preached. To that end, we want to see the saints repaired. Now, that may be sound like a strange phrase to you, but I believe that is the mission of the church. The repairing of the saints, the perfecting of the saints, as the Old King James Version talks about it in Ephesians 4. The idea is that when we were born into this world, we were born children of Adam, who rebelled against God, and therefore we are born as rebels against God, and our rebellion has cost us something. It has broken us. It has made us to where we are not automatically good parents or good spouses or good church members or good neighbors. And we have to learn how to undo sinful thinking not only about our life, but we have to undo sinful thinking about God. And we have to relearn everything and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We want to be a church that repairs the saints. If God is pleased to give us all of that, then our goal is that one day we will see this church be a multi-generational church that we pass on to our children and they to their children, who will tell them these things, who for generations will send out missionaries and other church plants as well to the glory of God and the increase of His kingdom. It is not our goal to ever be a mega church. Should we ever get to the point where 3 acres is not big enough for us, Randy, we're not buying the 6.3 back from you. May God instead grant us the ability to send other men out to plant other churches and repeat the process. Through all of this, we trust that God will be glorified. People come to faith in Jesus Christ and the saints established in the faith for years and years to come. That's our goal. And this building is just a tool and a means to that end. May God be glorified. Amen.